We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Pod World Headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider, presented by Crumley Roberts. Visit CrumleyRoberts.com today to find out how they can stand up for you.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. I think it's fair to say this is an emergency version of the Carolina Insider. And we're into the month of April as well. Our presenting sponsor all month is Crumley Roberts. CrumleyRoberts.com. Check it out. Find out how they can stand up for you. Adam, this is likely going out late Thursday due to the emergency nature of this podcast, but that doesn't mean, Adam, that it's not appropriate to play some Sad Friday.
It's Friday, feeling down Friday. Toys looking forward to the next game. Friday, feeling down on Friday. Toys looking forward to the next game. Practicing. Roy says run. Looking forward to the next game.
Adam, Roy Williams retired as the head coach of Carolina basketball yesterday, Thursday, and it's been a long day with a lot of things happening. What you got?
What a sad day.
It was a very emotional day. It was as raw and vulnerable and emotional press conference as I think I've ever seen in this type of situation. And yet, I don't know if that's a big surprise. It's Roy Williams. Roy Williams has always been emotional, pretty vulnerable, pretty raw. He's going to tell you what he thinks. And he did that. And of course, if you're a subscriber to the podcast, you should have received in your feed both the full audio of the press conference from yesterday and the subsequent press conference when Bubba Cunningham met with the media to then discuss the next steps. And we'll talk about that in a second. But it was as emotional, Adam, as I can remember, again, something like that being. And yet, it was kind of Roy Williams going out as Roy Williams.
There were almost two different levels of the sadness. There's the sadness you felt for Roy Williams, who has built his entire career on being more competitive than anyone else and wanting it more and being tougher than anybody else, basically saying, I feel like I lost a step. And that's sad. And then there's kind of the personal sadness you felt for yourself, even before Roy Williams ever spoke at the press conference, kind of the hours between 10 o'clock when the announcement was made and 4 o'clock when the press conference started, that time period was a lot more sad than I was expecting it to be. I mean, we both remember when Dean Smith retired, and I felt like that was more shock.
Yeah, shock.
It was really sad. It was really sad. And I guess, I mean, maybe people our age now felt this way then when Dean Smith retired, but I'm not sure they did. But it surely felt that way on Thursday. It felt like an era ending. That's your last link to Dean Smith. That's your last link to Carolina basketball as you knew it. And no matter what happens next, it's going to be different.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think a lot of that feeling comes down to just that, is that Roy Williams was always Roy Williams. He was never Dean Smith, never tried to be. And yet, there was the inescapable link between the two. There were a lot of similarities between the two, plenty of differences as well, of course. But it felt like a continuation of Coach Smith's program with a different twist to it, with the Roy Williams twist to it. I think no matter what happens, to your point, whether it's someone, quote-unquote, in the family or not that gets hired next, there's another layer of separation. And so it feels like the close, and that's not to say, you know, Carolina basketball is Carolina basketball. The Carolina basketball family is the Carolina basketball family. Those things aren't going away. But I do feel like you close that chapter a little bit just with the direct link to Coach Smith via Coach Williams.
And you missed it instantly. Like, there wasn't a period of, well, it's 10 o'clock and I heard Roy Williams is retiring and let me give this some thought. As soon as you found out, you missed Coach Williams throwing the t-shirts into the risers and some of the funny things and sometimes silly things he would say in the post game and just all those mannerisms and things that you've come to take for granted, and you realize you did take them for granted. Oh, and also the wins. And for it to come after these two seasons ago, which was kind of a weird wash, but this season, which was frustrating, which he talked about, and that game in West Lafayette is not the way you want to think about Roy Williams leaving Carolina basketball. I think I'd rather think about his last game at the Smith Center as the way he left Carolina basketball, because that one was fun.
You know, I thought some, Adam, about how Coach Williams always said that Coach Smith said that his biggest concern about Roy Williams was that he took the losses too hard and too personally. And I thought you saw that today. I mean, he basically said that, I mean, obviously these weren't his exact words, but basically said that he didn't feel like the team had performed to the standard that he felt was acceptable. He put that blame on himself, and for that to happen back-to-back years, basically said to him that he felt like it was time to go. I don't think there's anybody who would have thought, had Roy Williams stayed another, I'm going to pick a number, 3 seasons, that he would have overstayed his welcome in some way. Yet he felt like it was the right time. He made that very clear. I thought he was extraordinarily hard on himself, but he's always been extraordinary. He's always carried the burden of Carolina basketball. That's always weighed on him very heavily, in my opinion. Not just winning the games, but all of it. And I think it seemed like it just got too heavy.
And that's why he's going to be so hard to replace.
Absolutely.
Because he did carry that weight so heavily. You can't, it's hard to find someone who values the place and the program. Many times it felt like over himself, especially today. You can find lots of good coaches, but they're 9 times out of 10 going to value themselves over whatever it is they're doing, because they know if that doesn't work out, they'll go down the road and get another job. They're highly in demand. As Roy Williams said on Thursday, he's not coaching anymore. this isn't a case of let me go recharge my batteries and right. I'll see you guys down the road. He's done. He doesn't want to do it anywhere else. He's had plenty of those opportunities. He got to coach at the two places he loves the most, and he's done what he wanted to do.
Show's brought to you. We don't have an interview today, by the way. We had planned on having a normal episode today with some interviews and other things to talk about, but obviously with this news occurring, we're not going to have a guest on the show. Again, we sent out the full audio of the press conference from Coach Williams and Bubba's meeting with the media as well. So if you have not heard those, encourage you to listen to those. But the show brought to you by Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina. Texting while driving takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. And at highway speeds, that's like driving the length of a football field with your eyes closed. Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina. I want you to stay safe behind the wheel. Put down that phone while driving. Let's have a hands-free NC. Visit TrustedChoice.com. Find an agent near you. Adam, I think that comes to this point. And I know you did a couple of interviews, and I did a couple of interviews today, and I got asked this question, but did this come as a surprise to you? And I think the answer is, in hindsight, there were probably some clues, right? And I'm not suggesting that Coach Williams like decided in December that this was going to be his last year. I am suggesting that you could see things wearing on him, and whether that was the challenges of this season due to COVID, the challenges of the last two seasons, as we talked about on the court, his repeated statements that he didn't feel like he had gotten the team to the point where he thought it should be at that point. He said several times throughout the year, you know, this just hadn't been as much fun. It's so much harder. And a lot of that was COVID, but some of it, I think in hindsight, wasn't. There was the kiss in the court after the Duke game, which I still don't think necessarily was some kind of planned bat signal that it was that he was on his way out. But I think also that it's natural that maybe subconsciously, if nothing else, it was just kind of making sure that he covered all his bases before he walked off the court. And so I don't necessarily think it's some huge shock or surprise. I do think that probably the situation of the last year or two sped this up by a year or two more than was in my mind as the timeline. Not that my timeline matters a lick. I don't think it's necessarily an enormous surprise, though, that this happened. We knew this was going to happen sometime in the relatively near future.
Are you ever shocked when someone who's about to turn 71 decides they don't want to work 365 days a year anymore?
Right.
And you can't say in a job like Carolina basketball head coach, you can't say, I'm going to scale it back and work 250 days. I'll take some early afternoons and I'll head home or head to the golf course. You can't do that at Carolina. And I don't think Roy Williams is capable of coaching really anything that way. If he goes and coaches Aiden and Court's Little League team, that's about to be the hardest practicing Little League team in all of Charlotte. They're going to be fundamentally sound. So, but I also think this was a hard year for him personally from almost every aspect, and COVID is hard for everyone. But it was really hard for Roy Williams because it took away a lot of the things he values so much about being the coach. He lives off of all the team stuff that a team gets to do, and they did none of that. And I think that is part of what he's talking about when he says he couldn't push the right buttons. He couldn't build that team that he's used to sustaining him because it just wasn't possible. But I think when you think about, did you see things that were different? We both rode home with him from Georgia Tech. And we were not looking forward to that ride because the Tar Heels played poorly and lost. And we've all been around Roy Williams when the Tar Heels lose. And as you would expect, I mean, he's not like punching people in the face, but he's not a lot of fun after the Tar Heels lose. And he was so much more reflective after that game and more quickly willing to move on and talk about almost anything else. which we've never seen from him before.
Should be worth noted, that was also right after Wanda's father passed away, so there was a lot going on personally for him.
Right, which is what I was going to say.
Right.
That it clearly was weighing on him that this person who he said multiple times, I don't think he said it today, but maybe he did, the best grandfather he's ever seen, was no longer in his life. And he is a grandfather now, and he wanted to be that guy for his grandkids. And I really think he thought a lot about, can I be that guy while also being this guy at the University of North Carolina basketball program? And, I mean, the answer, of course, is no. You can try really hard, which he did every day, but it's just not physically possible to be in all those places at the same time. And you're getting ready to turn 71. I mean, what do you want to do?
Right.
And it's hard to begrudge him the fact that he had this great role model and he's learned from him and wants to go pass that on to his grandkids instead of coaching games for our team. You can't get mad about that. But were there any things different? Yes, I think you could see his worldview changing just a tad.
I think also, and he was asked essentially this question, college basketball is different. It is a different landscape than ever before. And that's okay. Things change. And he didn't say that stuff like name, image, and likeness or the transfer portal or those things necessarily. He didn't look one day and go, golly, Pete, this transfer portal, I'm out of here. But the word I think he used was it confirmed his decision. And he never said name, image, and likeness confirm my decision, but things like this. And I think that's right. I think, again, when you're 70 years old currently, and you've been doing it for nearly, you know, 35 years as a Division I head coach, nearly 50 years coaching in total, you know, it is a dramatically different landscape. Are you ready to try and completely adjust what you know that has been successful for you for so long? Or is it just part of the reason that confirms what you've been thinking about with some other factors as well?
We talked about it on the last show or two shows ago or something. College coaching has become different. It's not what Roy Williams got into at the outset of his career. It's a very different game, both on and off the court. And some of the parts he likes the most off the court have changed. And it's not hard to imagine that that wouldn't be quite as fun. And if you feel like you've got other responsibilities pulling on you, which everyone does, I think it gets a little tougher to say, I'm going to push those responsibilities aside for another year and go give myself to this, which maybe isn't exactly what it used to be. It's not. That doesn't make it better or worse. But if you get into a profession because you love it for this certain reason, and that certain reason changes, it's natural for you to feel like this is different than what I thought it was.
I know we kind of glazed over these similar points earlier when we were getting started. I thought it was really interesting that he kept going back to, I forgot to tell the team to foul up three against Clemson. And then we tried to foul against Duke and it didn't work. And I just thought that was interesting that those decisions and the failure in those games clearly, I mean, stuck with him now more than a year later and were factors in this decision.
And
it goes back to that, I think, how much responsibility he feels to be successful.
And that he contrasted it so clearly with 40 years ago,
right,
when he was an assistant coach and the Tar Heels happened to win five games where the opponents missed their last shot. I mean, he's still the same Roy Williams. He still remembers that season and the circumstances of every win or loss. But, yes, I mean, I wonder if that Clemson game was the beginning of the end, because it seemed like that really knocked him back a pace.
Mm-hmm.
That that he was capable of making this mistake. And he felt like lost the game for his team, which he says he loses the game for his team every loss. But right. this time it really felt like he really did something that really made them lose.
In his mind.
Right. And it just felt like that staggered him a little. And, I'm not really sure why, other than, most of us mess up worse than that every single day. But he just was not accustomed to it. And I think it's tough. And then, to compare that to the Duke game, you didn't do anything that caused that game to lose. They made some crazy plays.
Right.
And I thought it kind of made me sad that he thought about them
absolutely
similarly.
It made me sad that he – that part did make me sad. It made me sad. And then when he said, we did okay. And I think the sad part about that is that isn't him just being humble or downplaying it. I think that's really what he thinks.
Well, I think that's what he thinks today.
Right, and that's true. And he talked about that, about he needed to get through this initial wave and then could remember some more of the good times.
And I think, he talked about planning the golf trip to Arizona, which he does every year.
And real quick, just to that point, how much more did he, in that press conference, focus on the last 2 years compared to the previous 16? You did not hear much about the unbelievable runs and he mentioned players and some great win, but clearly the last two weighed more heavily on him than the previous 16 lifted him up.
If you had just come down from planet don't know a lot and just saw that press conference, I think you would be left with the impression that he had been fired.
I think he fired himself.
Yeah.
I
think that's right. Well, no one at Carolina is ever going to fire Roy Williams ever.
No, nor should they.
We would still like him to basically do whatever he wants in the athletic department. You want to coach lacrosse?
You want to host this podcast, Coach?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Get on this microphone, sir.
Carolina Insider with Coach Roy Williams. I don't know. It
was – that part to me was hard to watch because – and again, he's always been that way. But to so clearly lay it out like that, that was tough.
And no real mention of, he came into a difficult situation.
Absolutely.
Here. And 2 years later, you're cutting the nets down. And I thought a great point by Chad Holbrook today, who brought up this story again. When you're thinking about who Roy Williams was, you think back to that first championship and how incredible it was in 05. And, it's sort of this relief from these last couple years that have been really rocky. Carolina wins the game. Everybody's hugging on the court. And Roy Williams turns to a manager and says, make sure you get that chair I sat in because I want that for Reese's auction. Nobody else in the world thinks like that. And he did, and he always has. And I wish there had been more of that. I wish there had been more, it's been tough, but I really enjoyed doing that Special Olympics clinic every year.
Right.
We brought those kids in. They had a great time, and the Carolina kids had a great time. And shopping at Christmas time and all the stuff he did that made it a program, because that was the first thing he said when he got here was, I'm not here to coach the team. I'm here to coach the program, and there's a difference. And he's done that so well, and I think that's one thing when people start thinking about next year, whatever that looks like, and you think, well, just bring in A, B, or C. A, B, or C probably can coach the team, but the job description is different here. And I think some people are short-sighted when they don't realize that.
Quick reminder that we're brought to you in part by, LS Tractor. If you have any outside chores or projects, don't let them cause you to miss any Tar Heel game action. LS Tractor can make short work of them. That's normal yard maintenance to larger projects. LS Tractor has the machine for you. The website is lstractorusa.com. LS Tractor, what's it about for you? Adam, there is and I want to look forward here eventually, but the biggest, well, I shouldn't say the one of the biggest parts of the loss of today is that you're not just losing a basketball coach. You're not, and I don't even think you're not even just losing the coach of the program, to use that term. You're losing such an incredible embodiment of what the University of North Carolina is about. And that was part of the remarkable part about Roy Williams to me, is that you've got the small town, Western North Carolina, humble beginnings kid who got a shot at the big school and laced up his bootstraps and got it done and became a big success. And it's a very, it's almost like a fairy tale story that you have this person that was able to do that at the place he loved, in the state that he loved. And it kind of, and maybe that's putting too many flowers and perfume on it, but it just felt like such a wonderful relationship between the two. And when you had your most visible and well-known employee of the university, the person who I think if you asked anybody in the United States, what do you know about North Carolina? They'd probably go, oh, basketball and Roy Williams. And to have him have that background and embody what Carolina tries to be was just such an unbelievable combination.
What other situations like that are there? I mean, you think of all the big-time college coaches in football or basketball. I can't think of any others like that who have just worked out so perfectly. And we've talked a lot on this show about all the top-ranked teams Carolina has this spring nationally. A big reason why they have those top-ranked teams are Roy and Wanda Williams, because they paid for a lot of those players to come back to school. And I thought Will Blumberg, who's been on the pod, tweeted about it today and put it very well in saying that Roy Williams enabled him to come back to Carolina. And that just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. And somebody tweeted or emailed me or something today and said, well, that must be why Roy Williams gave Carolina $3 million a couple weeks ago, because he knew he was on the way out. Well, what about when he gave him $2 million more over the past however many years? He wasn't on the way out then.
Right.
That's just what they do. It's what they've done since day one. We saw Brian Kalbas at the press conference today. He's in season. Like, it's a practice day for his women's tennis team, the national top-ranked women's tennis team that has a whole lot of fifth-year seniors who came back thanks to Roy and Wanda Williams. And he makes time to come over to the Smith Center, which is not close to tennis, and just be physically there for the press conference just to support Roy Williams, because he feels like Roy Williams has supported him. How are you going to find that guy next? How are you going to find somebody who cares about it that much, that the other coaches — Roy Williams talked at the press conference about how much he loves coaches. The other coaches love him too because of things like that. And last week he was at Boshamer just sitting there watching the baseball game. Just a normal day. There's Roy Williams in his mask watching the Diamond Heels. And that's not normal. We're all conditioned to think it's normal because we've seen it for 18 years. We're about to find out that never was normal.
I think, Adam, it also signifies, I think we're in a pretty big time of transition at Carolina. I mean, Mike Fox recently retired, a longtime staple for Carolina baseball. You've had a change at women's basketball after Sylvia Hatchell had been here for a really long time. Courtney Banghart's doing a great job in her second year. You have this change now. There's been a change at football, although that one's a little bit different, obviously, but you've had a change there as well. And I think some of the other coaches that you immediately think of, a Karen Shelton and Anson Dorrance, you know, they have fewer games ahead of them than they have behind them. And so I think we are in the middle of a pretty big stretch here for Carolina athletics as far as finding the right people to lead these very important programs. And I think we're getting close to a really big stretch here in college basketball in total, and we've talked about kind of the overall just health of the sport, but, you know, Jim Boeheim's not going to coach a whole lot longer. Mike Krzyzewski's not going to coach a whole lot longer. Bob Huggins isn't going to coach a whole lot longer. I mean, some of these people who are synonymous with the game are peers age-wise, if not a little bit older than Roy Williams. And it's inevitable that eventually that's going to play a role.
Yeah, it's going to look different. I mean, you look at the Final Four of this weekend, that looks a little different. I mean, are Scott Drew and Mick Cronin the next wave of this? They could be, but they're not the guys we've known. And you're completely right about Carolina and kind of where the athletic department stands. I mean, things are great right now because everybody's winning, it seems like. We haven't even mentioned football.
Right.
Football's pretty good, and Mack Brown seems to be doing well. You guys keep up the good work. But I think it's a challenging time to be Bubba Cunningham, not just because he's on pretty much every important committee that there is. I'm going to take some time out from the NCAA tournament selection bubble to go back and hire a basketball coach, guys. I'll see you next year. But I also think you feel good about, and Bubba Cunningham said on Thursday night there wasn't going to be a search committee. You feel good about Bubba Cunningham and Kevin Guskowitz knowing what Carolina is looking for and making those choices because they're going to be the two who ultimately make it. And I think it's good that Roy Williams and Bubba Cunningham have gotten to the point in their relationship where I do think they trust each other. And that's been a process, like it is with any workplace relationship. And we all know, look, we think we've mentioned that Roy Williams feels a certain way about Carolina. It was natural to not be too sure about this guy who's not from Carolina.
Right.
I think now we all feel like Bubba Cunningham is Carolina. And so I think you feel okay about those guys understanding what Carolina is looking for, understanding what will and won't work.
So let's get to that. As we remind you that we're brought to you by UNC Health, dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds and to help keep you in the game and at your very best. You can see their lineup at unchealthcare.org/sports. So, Adam, now, of course, the natural question is, who is going to be the next head coach of Carolina basketball? And, you know, Bubba Cunningham met with the media on Thursday night via Zoom press conference. It wasn't a big thing like put on for Coach Williams at 4 o'clock, which, by the way, the first right move by Bubba Cunningham. Don't take questions at the 4 o'clock because inevitably you're going to get asked. So, yes, get out ahead of it. Say, hey, guys, I'll talk to you about that at 7 o'clock. This is going to be about Roy Williams. The right move. He said a couple of things. One, and I'm going to paraphrase what he said here, that he does not want this to take a lot of time, that he understands that every day that passes, I think you just make your challenge for whoever the next coach is gets a little bigger because of all the things that we know. The transfer portal, the fact that Carolina right now has 9 scholarship guys slated for next year. So, I mean, they need some more players. And so time is of the essence of this decision. He also said that, yes, that, you know, history with Carolina is something that would be valued and discussed, but it wasn't the only thing. That prior head coaching experience would be something that would be valued and discussed, but it wasn't the only thing. And that his ultimate goal was to get the person in the job that could win, win with integrity, and win at a championship level. So, those are, of course, all the right things to say. I do think, Adam, this is a unique job for some things that you've already said here over the previous 30 minutes. You have to have someone who at least understands and respects the history of Carolina and the Carolina basketball family. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to have been a part of that family. I do think it means that you have to understand what it means. And you have to respect it. You cannot come into this job if you are someone who does not have previous ties to Carolina and go, "All right, boys, I'm the new sheriff in town. This is how we're doing things." That's not going to work. That won't work here. It might work at some other places. It will not work here. And yet, Adam, I don't know that there is an absolute slam dunk 100% year 2000 Roy Williams out there. There isn't necessarily somebody that has strong ties to the program that is a 100% national level coach. And I don't know that there is. I'm not sure who the national level coach is that would understand Carolina well enough to be able to come in and navigate that process in the first year or two, which are going to be important. And so I just think it will be hard to find that person. There's going to be some candidates that have strengths on one side of that ledger, and there's going to be candidates that have some strengths way on the other side of that ledger. And you've got to find the right mix, but there is not a 20 years ago Roy Williams staring you in the face right now.
There was never any doubt that Roy Williams could do it.
Right.
Either on the basketball side or the not basketball side. And no matter who's hired next, you can hire the greatest basketball tactician in the world, but is he going to know J.R. Reed when he walks into the lounge? That's something you don't know. Or you could hire someone who is well acquainted with every former player for the last however many years. Are you completely sure about the basketball side? And if you want to go outside the family, I think the trick is, in that case, you're talking about one of the top, let's say, 10 coaches that are out there in college basketball, because otherwise there'd be no reason to look there. They got to be the top 10 college coaches because they got their way of doing it, and their way works, and they're well aware that their way works. You've got to be able to say to that person, "You've done a great job at whatever your previous stop was. When you come here, we're going to need you to understand that this Carolina family thing is a living thing that you actually have to take time out of your program, and you have to work on it. You can't just go around and tell everybody, the family, we love the family." Because there's other schools that have sort of tried to copy the Carolina family by just making it a hashtag. That's not how you make it happen. You have to actually write notes and call people and text people and go to watch people play and care. And that's just not something that normal coaches have to do, because that's not how it is everywhere. So I think that's why it's a little more difficult than just saying, "Well, just hire the best coach." Well, he might be the best basketball coach. That doesn't make him the best Carolina basketball coach. And you've got to remember that you've got hundreds of former players out there in the world to whom the Carolina family is a very real and important thing, maybe the most important thing that they had in their Carolina basketball experience. And it's going to knock them back a little if you go to them and say, "We're not going with one of your own." That's... You're going to have to show them why you did that.
I thought it was a really savvy move by Bubba Cunningham when he said that, you know, he has already been in heavy discussions with a lot of former players, and that, you know, he kind of said, you know, ideally I'd talk to every single one of them, but that's not a realistic thing to do right now. But he mentioned some names, guys like Big Grits, Eric Montross, you know, Marcus Page, Cam Johnson, guys, Phil Ford, guys who represent Carolina through different time periods. And you have to do that. You have to involve them. They have to be, and I'm not saying they're going to be the ones that make the decision. That's going to ultimately be Bubba Cunningham and Kevin Guskowitz, Carolina's chancellor. But you have to have them feel involved. They have to at least let their voice be heard. And whatever that number is of representative guys, 20, 100, 7, you know, whatever number it is that you feel like, okay, I've gotten a pretty good feel for from 1969 to present day, you know, the feelings of these people, and if I do X, what could happen? Another point of what we're talking about. I think Bubba Cunningham is a good example, and you said it earlier. You can find someone who maybe doesn't know everything about Carolina, but is willing to accept that they need to learn to be successful here. Not like a life or death situation, but if they want that job, then they need to learn why it's important. That person, that is a realistic option and thing to have happen. We've seen it with Bubba. But again, you have to find that person if that's the way you want to go.
Yes. And that person has to be willing to accept that they don't know everything. And a lot of times people at that level of success,
right, that's a great point,
aren't necessarily willing to accept that. Look, Bubba Cunningham wasn't here during the Matt Daugherty years, but he knows what happened.
Sure.
Matt Daugherty could have worked, but as he himself has said on this very podcast, there were just things he didn't weigh heavily enough. And it's very tricky to be able to say, I'm going to do it my own way, but I'll also take your help. And from the Bubba Cunningham perspective, you've got to talk to all those former players, but you've also got to accept you're probably going to make some of them mad.
Right. Yeah. There is not one answer that's going to make everybody happy like there was when Roy Williams came to Carolina.
Even within the family, it's not as simple as family yes or family no. If it's family yes, you're going to have some family who think X and some who think Y and some who think Z. And you've got to feel comfortable enough with all the aspects of the decision to say, I know you guys don't like it today, but 5 years from now, let's revisit it, and I think I'm going to be right.
I really think, Adam, and this is strictly my opinion, to your point about Matt Daugherty, if whoever the next coach comes in, and I've told you this off the air before, allow the structure of Carolina basketball to help you. Eventually, of course, you want it to be your program with your fingerprints on it. Of course you do. You can't do that right away. Everybody talks about how hard it is to follow a legend. Of course it is. So don't go in and try to burn the house down. I have some personal experience, not as big a deal as Carolina basketball. Don't go in and try to change everything. Ease your way in. Let the structure help you. And eventually it's going to be 5 years later and 7 years later or 10 years later. And things will naturally progress, and you will be able to be the one who is molding that progression. That would be my piece of advice to whoever takes charge for Carolina basketball.
My piece of advice would be use all your timeouts.
Yeah.
You remember when Matt Daugherty got the job in the very first game, he got the technical foul?
And people loved it.
People thought it was the greatest thing that had ever occurred, because the biggest criticism of Bill Guthridge, he just sits there.
Yeah, he's too laid back.
Yeah.
Not fiery enough.
He just sits there, parentheses, going to 2 Final Fours in 3 years. So Matt Daugherty comes in and gets a technical foul, I think in the first half.
Was it Tulsa? I feel like it was against Tulsa. I may have made that up.
And people thought it was great. Well, there's going to be that initial moment with whoever comes after Roy Williams. But ultimately, look at the blueprint. The thing worked pretty well. And there's nothing wrong with doing it that way.
Second game of the Matt Daugherty tenure was against Tulsa. Mm. First game, a 5-point win against Winthrop.
Yeah, take that, Winthrop.
Another reminder that we're brought to you by Pinehurst and the Pinehurst Resort. There's never been more to discover at the cradle of American golf than right now. Go to pinehurst.com and plan your visit.
You're not going to Pinehurst quite as soon as you thought you were.
No, what we were anticipating would become a little bit of maybe a relaxed week or two. Not going to be a relaxed week or two, Adam.
Director of Pond Security, Rusty, you just hold things down there at Pinehurst for now.
Adam, I mean, no other way to cut it other than this is a monumental day for Carolina basketball. I think no matter what direction Carolina goes from here, and hopefully it is wildly successful, I do think this is the line is turning a little bit one way or another. The timeline of Carolina basketball is going to angle off in some direction. And it's not easy to do today, but what an incredible, I'm not want to say like, you know, 40 years or something, or yeah, to what an incredible 18 years this has been with Roy Williams as the head coach of Carolina basketball.
And to your point at the very beginning, I felt like that got lost a little.
I absolutely think it did. And I do think he recognized that because he did try to come back to it a couple of times where he said, you know, once I get through today and once I get through this press conference and, you know, I look forward to being able to look back at the good times. But I do think that got lost a little bit, which to me was a bummer because, I mean, if you just want to talk about straight numbers, nobody has been more successful in college basketball in the time that Roy Williams has been the head coach at Carolina than Carolina. Any measurement you want to think of, tournament games, Final Fours, championships, ACC regular season titles, whatever metric is important to you, Carolina's been the best. And I do think there's going to be some people where be careful what you wish for. Because, I mean, have the last 2 years been rosy? No. But it, as to your point, what has happened at Carolina over the last two decades is not normal. It is not normal to win at that level with the quality of person that Roy Williams is and the perfect marriage between the coach and the university. That is not normal. The next head coach, you and I both hope, is awesome and highly successful, but it will be different because it isn't Roy Williams.
Well, we all thought the program was pretty good before Roy Williams got here, right? Like, we were pretty pleased with how Carolina basketball was doing.
Sure.
I think it's one of the best in the world. Three championships in 60-plus years. Roy Williams gets here, you win three in 18 years. I was at least glad he did mention nobody won more than the Tar Heels in the 18 years that he was here. That's exactly right. Nobody won more than three titles. Three championships in 18 years. And you mentioned the quality of person Roy Williams was and the quality of people he brought in here.
Yeah, great point. I mean, a great example of that 06 thing that we did. When we talked, Quentin Thomas and Marcus Guignard and Danny Green and Bobby Fraser and David Noel and Tyler Hansbrough. I mean, you're not going to do any better than that, than those type of people.
And how often do we sit in here in this room with whoever the latest one to stop in is, and when they leave, go, I like that guy? Almost never does someone walk out and you go, not sure about him. And that's not normal. You're supposed to either have nice guys or winning guys, and it's so much harder to find the nice winning guys. And somehow Roy Williams did that, and I think part of it is because he is one, and so he can identify them more easily. But it's hard to do. It's really hard to do. And somehow he did it, and we were both lucky enough to get to be around, and he was good enough to us personally that we were able to keep doing it. And it's irrational to think it could continue on at that pace. Carolina's had two of the five best coaches in college basketball history. Two of the five best. The entire rest of the world had three. That's not normal. And we all hope that the number six coming down the pike is going to be in Chapel Hill next week, whoever that is. But it's going to be tough. And I think that was part of kind of the emotions of today, is I think when you are forced to stop and think about it, you realize, oh, wait a minute. What a lucky time period this has been to be a Tar Heel.
So, yeah. We do not know what the next week will bring, but we'll be here, Adam.
We'll just pod every day.
Yeah.
We're going to go sit up on top of the billboard until there's a coach. We're not coming down. Angelo, bring us some IP3 to on top of the billboard. Come see us at the MCC. Jones will be up there.
That's right.
Adam, anything else?
No.
On we go. Well, Adam, only one person can send us out. It's Roy Williams, Adam. And the RZA, of course. Here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
We're signing off right here, and we want to say see you later. Big grits. Oh, my gosh, big grits. I can't wait to see you face to face.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat.
See you later, Big Grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network, brought to you by Crumley Roberts. Visit CrumleyRoberts.com today to find out how they can stand up for you.